You're listening to American Songcatcher, tracing the roots of American music from its cultured past to today's artists playing it forward. I'm folk musician Nicholas Edward Williams. Today, we proudly present the fifth installment of the Local Focal Series, where we're collaborating with artists around the country to share unique and lesser-known musical history. Our narrator today is Dustin Dale Gaspa, a ninth-generation Cajun who comes from the deep, deep South, the Acadian region of Louisiana. Dustin shares the unique history of the genre swamp pop with detailed context of the Cajun heritage that it was born out of. Let's head down to the swamp. Here's Dustin. If it's wrong to
To define the real roots of Louisiana, you will commonly hear the word gumbo used. As like any other dish, there are a variety of recipes, but three ingredients absolutely have to be mentioned. Bell peppers, onions, and celery, also known as the Holy Trinity. The taste and flavors offered will be found and consumed in nearly all households who claim to be of southern Louisiana. I mention food as such because I believe it's integral to the makeup of the culture. Food for your belly plays as much a role as food for the soul. And what is food for the soul but music?
South to Louisiana, to the town of Evadoe. South to Louisiana, to the town of Evadoe.
My home has created and influenced this planet with such an undeniable quantity of this, but I bring to you a genre slowly exiting the world. Swamp pop. Swamp pop is a unique genre of music that originated in the rural landscapes of Louisiana, particularly during the 50s. The genre encapsulates the spirit and cultural heritage of the region, often incorporating bilingual lyrics, its emotional vocals, honky-tonk pianos, bellowing horns, and a vintage backbeat. To some, it's just badly recorded swamp rockabilly performed in smoke-filled backwoods dance halls. I'm here to give you another drink on it.
We were dancing, and she held me, just like you used to.
With Cajun and Zydeco music being so well known, it came as a surprise to me to hear people didn't know the names of artists like Warren Storm, Rod Bernard, Johnny Allen, Tommy McLean, all of which were mentioned as frequently and often seen as more impressive than, say, the likes of Elvis Presley. But even Elvis was once quoted as saying, New Orleans rhythm and blues piano singer Fats Domino was the true king of rock and roll. And who wrote some of Domino's major hits but swamp pop recording artist Bobby Charles.
I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need two parachutes when I get through walking these blues. When I get to New Orleans.
The remnants of Southern, more American qualities still have some rub here. But where I believe true Louisiana sustains itself, we only accept the qualities of the outside world we deem morally positive to the nature of ourselves. And that's all we've let in. We've done it with the entire French language, keeping what we deem worthy of our own convictions and integrity. Given most of our backgrounds, we've already learned a lot more of what to do than what not to do. We also know that the things we've blended together carry the authentic weight from generations past. I say all that to give credence to this genre because I believe it was invented to show the world we could do it better with more authenticity while adding the specificity of our region's history and heritage. The subgenre's close proximity to Cajun and Black Creole cultures, I'll have to start a little further back and give a brief history lesson. The Cajuns are who I can speak on directly. I'm a ninth generation Cajun. My ancestors, Michel Jean and Angélique Pinet-Léger, were French people who, alongside many other French, settled in northeast Canada in the 16 and early 1700s. Under British rule, this area would be refuge to practicing French Catholics, and named Nova Scotia. But to the people who deemed it home, it'd be known as Acadie. At that time in Europe, the French and British altercations had far little reflections on the lives of the Acadian people, and in ways, they claimed a pseudo-independence among themselves. In worry of this, the British government made Acadians sign an oath of allegiance to their crown. The oath was only accepted under two conditions: the Acadians be able to practice their Catholic faith freely, and in the case that war would arise, the Acadians would choose neutrality. American Songcatcher is growing, and in preparation for season 3, we need your help financially. I know this podcast is free, and you're likely hesitant to give money. But think about it. You go out a few times a month to pay $5 for a beer, or a coffee, or $10 at minimum for a meal. Here at American Songcatcher, we feed you stories and fill your cup with a host of insightful facts and musical landscapes. If you agree, make the choice and give today, with either a one-time donation or visit our Patreon to pledge monthly. Find those links in the show notes. Secondly, calling all writers. If you have a desire to tell human or musical stories, if you love music history, and if you have any writing experience, consider being a volunteer guest writer on American Songcatcher. Just email americansongcatcherpodcasts@gmail.com to find out more. Now, back to the show. In the 1750s, tension did increase, and Colonel Monckton of the British military attacked French forts in the Acadian region. Even though the French surrendered, some Acadians were forced to bear arms, and this was seen by the area's British governor as a breaking of the previously established oath. So, Acadian families were sent to France or spread among the North American British colonies in an attempt to assimilate them into faithful subjects. Some escaped and were hunted as rebels and traitors. These neutral people all were sought to be eradicated completely. Now known as Le Grand Derangement, 11,500 were deported, and at least 5,000 died from starvation and disease or on shipwrecks. After countless failed attempts to re-establish a refuge for the exiled, a French soldier of fortune by the name of Henri Pirot found a small Acadian community in Louisiana and devised a scheme with the Spanish to promote Acadian immigration to the Louisiana area. Between May and October of 1785, a large population of the remaining Acadians would migrate aboard 7 separate ships to New Orleans and settle west of the city in what is now known as Acadiana. Acadians had done 100 plus years prior, they'd adapt to the area that they settled, establish community among all the different ethnicities of the region, and begin to blend the influences to their new home. Through the years, these people, my people, would keep their non-materialistic values and traditional lifestyle in opposition to the modern planter aristocracy and plantation system. Society, acknowledging the separation of this mindset, would deem us as a lesser class, And as Acadians assimilated, French, Spanish, and German would distinctly become Cajuns.
Ben, soleil a peu couché, la lune a peu levé, ouais. Et tout ça, moi, je connais. À part comme ça, Washington.
The Creole are a mix of West African, Spanish, Native American, and Louisiana French people. People of any race can be known as Creoles, but predominantly the ones who influenced swamp pop music were in some way that of color. Following the Civil War, free people of color would heavily integrate within this population. These were multiracial European, African, and Native American descendants. And like the Cajuns, they too spoke French. The language is one way they influenced swamp pop music, but the post-antebellum world of Creole culture created a bluesier flavor and style found primarily in that of Zydeco music today.
When I'm going downtown, down to see my baby, I'm gonna walk all day, if that's what it takes.
The cultures were intertwined with the musical identity. The Cajuns borrowed the Black Creole's syncopated, percussive, and improvisational styles. In turn, the Creoles borrowed the Cajuns' basic musical traditions and storytelling, as well as their musical instruments. Primary instruments such as the fiddle would lend its timbre to all the variations of folk music performed, and later further in country influence. The language would remain the common denominator to make a substantial mark on swamp pop music. It's necessary to see what these genres did for swamp pop, as its choices and assembly were not just random, even specifically chosen. Rather, it was stirringly influenced from the lagniappe of creativity and growth. What Cajun and Creole music did for swamp pop is like what bluegrass did for country. The genre would further the reach of the Cajun and Creole music, but its choice to elect modern sounds allowed it to become a branch of its own. Early swamp poppers were harshly judged as Cajuns and Creole artists who turned their back on their heritage to become more palatable to a commercial audience. Many of these artists were often direct descendants of the very cultures that were claiming such disposition. It just sounds like people scared of change. The genre continued to utilize the Cajun and Creole language in its songs, as well as highlighting the phrasing of past traditional music.
Let's go to Lafayette and do the Cajun twist. We'll twist with Shirley Blonde and twist all night long. We'll go to Grand Couture and eat some good gumbo. Then go to Timor Reef and do the Cajun twist.
I grew up thinking swamp pop was interesting. I truly believed it was world-renowned because I had never been anywhere outside of a 100-mile radius from home. But I didn't understand why Pawpaw found it so special. I'd eventually learn it was because it represented him fully. It was of two worlds, like he was. He grew up in a much more secluded rural time than myself. A true marsh Cajun, his childhood would be seen as primitive. He went from living off the land, out of the societal norms, and primarily speaking French, to witnessing the Americanized development of the electrical grid, learning English, and seeing color TV. As he grew, the world grew drastically.
You got a gal, you got a car, you got some money and an old guitar. You gotta buy the shit, boy. You gotta buy the shit, boy. You gotta want a nickel for convincing. You gotta make it.
The music of the 50s rock and roll compiled new age sound and electric amplification. A far cry from the back porch fiddles, accordions, and a cappella tunes he knew. But this new music didn't forget to include themes of his home and his language. Looking at it all now, I can attest that swamp pop music made Cajun and Creole music digestible for even me. It was a gateway subgenre that led me to find something that I sought after in my spirit and literally inherited in my DNA. I can relate to it now more than ever. I feel I'm a modern swamp popper trying to reverse engineer the polished elements of today's recording techniques to a time before.
When I get back outside.
My influences and exposure to so much of the modern world often cause creative paralysis. The options seem too many. Musically, I can relate to the rootsier elements of the delicate traditional Cajun instrumentation and its acoustic arrangements. But my singing often lends itself to the over-dramatized vocalization and emotion reminiscent of the swamp pop rock and roll.
Over in the nick of time, I hope to fetch your soul for a little while. I would like rise
in July. Today I perform and have recorded several swamp pop tunes. A version of the classic Feed the Flame, which has been done by Van Broussard, Don Penn, and Percy Sledge.
Strong desire, keep it burning, our only ashes will remain.
Like a horn calling us back to remember something we forgot, our fiddle bowing us across time. Not all songs have it, not every artist keeps its company. But we do have access to it if we pay attention. It's certainly in swamp pop music. It's in Cajun and Creole music. And it's my job to find out what that is in my music. Currently, I'm working on a new record influenced by the idea of swamp pop, the blending of separate musical genres and languages built around fiddle, dulcimer, bonron, and chants. The songs will pay homage to my ancestors' story and the experience of their exile from their home. It's my legacy to recognize the duality and testify all these stories. To put it in Cajun terms, it gives you the frissons. Some words to define here would certainly be frissons, which is a Cajun word for goosebumps. And another word to define here would be lagniap, which is a little bit something extra, another Cajun word.
I think I just wanted to add a couple things. I chose the swamp pop songs that I did on my record. Because they were very important to my grandparents. My grandmother loved This Should Go On Forever. And when she was passing away from COVID, I was the last person to see her. I'd fought my way into the emergency room, and they put me in like a hazmat suit. And I didn't want to leave her side. She was my mother in a lot of different ways, and she really raised me and supported my music. And I took off my mask and sang This Should Go On Forever to her on her deathbed. It was one of the most special moments and one of the greatest things that I think I could have done. Knowing that I sang that for her, I spent the remaining hours with her, and then she passed, like a couple hours after I'd left. And my grandfather, he was a widow with six children, and he was always been a big romantic and a lover. So swamp pop music, swamp pop definitely harps on love and romance. And he loved to just play old vinyl in his house. He had a humongous vinyl collection that was, you know, very extensive as far as good old Cajun music and swamp pop goes. It was all lost in one of the hurricanes. And but he would slow dance with a glass of whiskey to some of those old swamp pop tunes, and Feed the Flame is the one dedicated to him on my record. It's a really groovy song, but I distinctly remember him, you know, dancing to that. All of us dancing, you know, so many late nights. I'll just finish it like this. It's an old Cajun saying that I like to say, which is, La vie n'est pas facile, mais ça vaut la peine, which is, life ain't always easy, but it's worth it. So keep doing things that make it worth it.
This should go on forever. Let me stay here in your arms, just to gaze into your eyes, dear, and to capture all your charm.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16.
And that's all for the fifth episode of the Local Focal Series. Huge thanks to Dustin Dale Gaspar for educating us on this genre of music and for all that you're doing to represent swamp pop and where you hail from. Dustin has been chosen for a grant to release a record of this tradition in 2024, and you can find links to all of his work in the show notes of this episode. Thank you to the community on Patreon. This would not be possible without you. If you'd like to support this program financially, click the link in the show notes or visit patreon.com/AmericanSongcatcher. Our intro song is Payday by Mississippi John Hurt from the Today album. The outro song is 16 Tons, performed by Tennessee Ernie Ford. This episode was narrated by Dustin Dale Gaspar, with editing, recording, and distribution by myself, Nicholas Edward Williams. In the words of swamp pop pioneer Rod Bernard, Magad dedans, loosely translated to, well, look at that. Here's to the songs of old. May they live on forever. See you next time on American Songcatcher.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.